Well, for our text this morning, I'd like to go into the Gospel of Mark. And going into the fifth chapter, it is in the scripture verses for today, or the text for today, or one of them. It's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, and beginning with verse 21. And we'll read through the end of the chapter. It's a little bit lengthy, but that's all right. We're reading scripture. And reading the words in Jesus' name. That's Mark chapter 5 and beginning with verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh out one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him by about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him by all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John and the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult of them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. Let's humble our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, Father, we pray that these words that we have read, we know that they are your words, and that we know that these words are true, for indeed everything that you say and have written is true. Father, we pray that you would reveal them to us and that you would speak to us through them. In Jesus' name, amen. During the night, last night I woke up a couple of times, and then this morning when I woke up, and there were a couple of songs that just kept running over and over in my head, and they both had to deal with the love of God. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels throng. The love of God is something that I think at times we tend to lose sight of. And I'm not saying that, you know, that we just go on about willy-nilly and not pay any attention to it or anything like that. But sometimes life gets in the way. Sometimes life gets to the point where there's so much going on and things are so busy, and maybe we pay attention to things that we shouldn't have ought to be paying attention to. And that's not good. Because that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. He doesn't want us to pay attention to God. He doesn't want us to be reminded of the love of God and what God has done for us. These verses that we read, as I said, were rather lengthy. But they have to deal with God's love towards mankind. They deal with how God views mankind and how he loves them, and he loves us. Right away, as soon as Jesus got out of the boat, he's standing on shore, and this guy comes up. He's from the synagogue. He's one of the rulers of the synagogue. I looked that up, and I've learned how to use Google, so that's a good thing. But basically, when it talks about a ruler of the synagogue, he was kind of a layperson, if you will. He wasn't one of the priests or anything like that. But he was the one that had kind of took care of the everyday activities and the everyday things that went on in the synagogue. Kind of made sure that the yard was mowed and the floors were swept and the windows washed, and, you know, just kind of took care of things, set up for meetings and all that type of stuff. So he comes up to Jesus and he tells him, he said, my little daughter lies at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, that she may live. That alone, that statement alone is a statement of faith. That is a statement of understanding who Christ was. His reputation at this point had gone on before him. There's no doubt about that. But he recognized that this Jesus who was there could heal his daughter. And in so believing that, it is a sign of faith in Christ and who he was. And Jesus went with him, and there are a lot of people that followed him. And now we get into that familiar story about the woman who had the issue of blood. In another translation, it's called hemorrhaging, which is something we understand more than just by saying issue of blood. But she had been trying to get healed over the years, and we know the medical things back in those days probably weren't top shelf. And a lot of things that went on that people didn't really understand. But again, what we see is that she approached Jesus through faith and by faith, understanding that if I could only just touch his garment, that I would be healed. For me, looking at that, and maybe it has something to do with how I'm living today, as far as the medical practices and all are concerned. But looking at that and having someone say that if I could just touch his dress, touch his robe, I would be healed. That's a significant sign of faith. You notice it doesn't say, well, let's get where it says, and for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I shall be healed. Not, I might be, or this is my last resort, so I've got to try to do this, and hopefully it'll work. No. If I can just touch his clothes, I shall be, I will be whole. That's faith. There's no doubting there. There's no, I hope so. She had faith. And she had faith that Christ could heal her. And she believed it. She believed it completely and wholly. It's kind of hard to do for me. Always the what ifs, the maybes kind of enter in. And that's the flesh that we live with. That's where we live with this flesh, and we're just, oh, I wish I could just kind of throw it off to the side and just totally believe, even as this woman believed. And yet, you know, God understands that. And again, we get back to the love of God. He understands that we deal with this every single day. He understands that we deal with the doubts, the despair, the what ifs, the maybes. He knows all this. And he continues to love us. And he continues to look upon us with compassion and with grace. And so often we just kind of keep on going and just worrying about the what ifs and maybes. And we don't just sit down, get down on our knees, prayer bones as they call them, and just say, Lord, I need help. The human nature steps in and doesn't want to acknowledge that. It says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed. She right away knew. Right away she knew that she was healed. Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples, in a way, and it doesn't say it here, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it, but his disciples said, you see the people around you, and they're all thronging you, and they're just wanting to get a part of you. And you look at it and you say, who touched me? To them, it just probably appeared to be a ridiculous statement. But yet Jesus felt in himself, as it says here, his virtue. It says in verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him or proceeded from him. In another translation it says power, but I like the word virtue better. Virtue deals with a holiness. It deals with something a little bit more specific. Power means power. I guess I don't know how else to say that. He felt that virtue had gone out of him. And he says, who touched my clothes? And then we go on, and the disciples were wondering why he would even say that. But then the woman, who obviously was standing right there, she became, well, it says, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her. It says she came and fell down before him and told him all what? The truth. Didn't try to cover it up. It didn't try to make it appear as though she was had no other option. She just plain told the truth. Years ago, I remember hearing a statement, always tell the truth. That way you don't have to remember what you said. Tell the truth. She told the truth. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Again, it's the faith that she had. And it's the faith that we have, even this morning. That faith that we have gets us through the day. That faith that we have when we're confronted with an issue that we really don't know what to do with, or seems to be more than we could handle, that faith is what gets us through. Last week I mentioned there are times where things happen that we don't understand and we want to know the answer to, and we holler out to God and ask why. We don't get an answer. At least I've never heard of anybody getting one. But yet the faith still carries us through. We understand. We read and we can understand what Scripture tells us about how God deals with us. And it's our faith that we have that helps us get through this. Because He reveals His goodness through our faith. He reveals His goodness through the Holy Spirit. And we believe it because of our faith. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee go in whole. Made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." So while he was still talking to this lady, one of the guys in the synagogue comes up and he tells his boss, or the ruler, he says, "Your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. It's done. It's over." And it says, 36, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue," what? "Be not afraid. Only believe." I've got that underlined with pink magic marker, so it would be something that would jump off the page. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. That's all. That's it. You don't add anything to that. You don't think of something else that you can say or something else that sounds important. Only believe. Believe what? Believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He has done. Believe that He can, in this case, heal. "And He suffered no man to follow Him." In other words, He told the throng, "Okay, guys, get back." He just took Peter, James, John, and the brother of John. He went to the house, and he saw all the people, the multitude there, and there was a lot of tumult and a lot of weeping and wailing. Back in those days, they had what they called professional mourners. And they would weep and wail and carry on and do whatever. I mean, it was quite a show, from what I understand, from a little bit I've read about it. And he come in and comes in and he says, "Why do you make all this ado? Why are you doing all this commotion and all this weeping? The damsel is not dead. The girl is not dead. She's sleeping." Now this next verse. And as I was reading it, we've all heard that Jesus was tempted the same way as we are, that He had to undergo all of the things that we have got to undergo, because that way He understands how we're dealing with this. And here's one of the things that He had to deal with. "And they laughed Him to scorn." Have you ever been picked on because of something that you've said? Have you ever been laughed at because of something that you said that the group that you're with didn't agree with you? Or the group that you're with just flat didn't believe you? This is what Jesus went through at that point. They laughed Him to scorn. They didn't just laugh at Him. It was to scorn. It was to actually even make comments about, "Don't be silly. This girl is dead. Why do you say something so foolish?" And I'm adding these words, of course, because they're not written here. But this is one of the things that Jesus went through. But he takes them all out. He says, "Okay, all of you, leave, go, get." And He took the father and the mother, and He took those who were with Him. Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. So He had six people, seven counting Himself, and they go into the room. And so went in there where the damsel, where the girl was lying down. He took her by the hand, and I know I'm going to slaughter this pronunciation again, but said to her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. I've read there are other versions of what that actually means, but they're all very similar. And essentially what was happening was Jesus was calling her back to life, is what it boiled down to. And after about 20 minutes, the girl got, no. And straightway, immediately. This is the way Jesus works. I mean, there are times where he lets things play out in our life for whatever the reasons may be, instructional purposes or whatever. But he can also work in immediate situations. There was an issue that I went through when I was driving truck years ago. And believe me, if it hadn't have been immediate, there would have been a lot of chaos. God does work immediately, but he also works slowly. He knows what we need, and he knows how to do it. Straightway, the damsel arose and walked. You didn't have to kind of get up and feel dizzy, and you know. And that's the other key, that when Jesus does something, or when God does something, he does it completely. He doesn't do just a little bit of it and say, okay, now you're just going to have to kind of work your way through this. No, he completely heals, even as he healed that woman. Was totally, completely healed. And they were astonished with great astonishment. I can imagine. I can just imagine what that must have been like. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now I looked this verse up in several different places and wanted to know why he didn't want anybody to know about it. Never got an answer. I couldn't find anything as to why. But this is the way he dealt with things several different times in Scripture. Don't tell anybody about this right now. Later on, you can, but for right now, no. And he commanded that they should give her something to eat. Why is that important? Again, I don't know. But it is God's word. It's written in this book, and it is true. And because of that, we accept it. For it is indeed his love and compassion and grace that we look to each and every day. In his name, amen. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, as we're about to leave this place that you have allowed us to come to. We ask, O God, that you would walk with us this day, and that you would remind us and fill us with your Spirit, and remind us of that love and compassion that you have for us, and that we would continually look to you for strength, for guidance, and for encouragement as we walk on this path that you have given us. Father, we thank you and ask you for all things in Jesus' name. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.